Well, Matt, and welcome to episode 68, the Bill Shakespeare Project podcast for January 30th, 2011. For our blog and previous podcast episodes, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. Greetings. This is Bill Walthall, and this week we conclude our month-long discussion of the second part of Henry IV, with some final thoughts, as well as a production concept and a possible cast. Then we'll finish up with our usual recap of this week's blog entries. But first, an apology. This week's podcast is going to be a shorty. Yesterday, Saturday, January 29th, 2011, my wife's cousin Shannon married her longtime boyfriend Jeff, Jeff the chef to our younger son Jack. Since I love those two wacky kids, I've taken a day off from my new day job, and we've driven as a family from our super-secret enclave in Ventura County up to the Bay Area where the nuptials are taking place. You see, I don't do this thing we call a podcast live. I usually do it around Wednesday or Thursday, but since we drove or are driving Thursday night, well, you get the picture. But don't be angry, just be happy for the newlyweds. Okay, so some final thoughts on the play. I loved last month's the first part of Henry IV. This month's second part, not so much. It's kind of like Jaws. Love the original, but the sequel is just sort of meh. As a sequel, it's marginal. As a reboot, it's abysmal. Only as a transitional piece does it work. A week or so back, when we were discussing Falstaff, a blog reader Kevin Landis commented that the reason why Falstaff takes over the play is so that we, as an audience, can understand why Hal has to give him the boot when he becomes Henry V. Kevin has a point. This is a transitional piece, and there's much to like about it in theory. But in practice, as a play, it just doesn't cut it for me. It just can't stand on its own. But then again, I guess neither can Empire Strikes Back. Now, regardless, without a dominant Hal or a rip-roaring Hotspur, this play sits pretty low on the totem pole for me, in the bottom half of the histories and in the bottom third of the plays overall. Now, a year ago, when I had finished the first tetralogy, I was really looking forward to the second tetralogy's culmination with Henry V. But after this summer's Henry IV Part 1 up in Ashland as part of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, and the past 2 months reading, I find that my memory of Henry had been somewhat idealized. And to be honest, I'm not looking as forward to the next play as I did a year ago. I see him differently now, and I'm not quite sure how I feel about that. So, production concept. As you longtime listeners know, every month I try to put together a production concept, a directorial slant to the play. And it's tough with the histories because of the genre and their quasi-factual settings. But these last few plays have given me a little more leeway to play with. And, well, in honor of Kevin, let's link this production to last month's. Let's move from the punk rockers of the 80s to the cutthroat entrepreneurs of the 90s. Since there are no battles of combat in this play, all of the confrontations could be in the guise of boardroom skirmishes, a sort of dot-com bubble burst prequel to The Social Network. Maybe with a not purely charismatic version of Hal becoming something akin to Jesse Eisenberg's Mark Zuckerberg in that movie. Not that I would switch Hals, or any of my main actors. I would still want as my Hal John Krasinski of The Office, and it's complicated. As I said last month, I want a Hal who is good-looking, but still an everyman. Not a model, not a true punk. Someone who would have to work to fit in at Eastcheap, but who could clean up quickly and well when he returns to the palace. He needs to be funny, but serious enough to hint at the greatness to come, but with a little darkness in there as well. And I think Krasinski's got that. As my older, weak, and not quite as full of himself as he once was King Henry, I would still want Geoffrey Jones. Over 20 years ago, he was Principal Rooney in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. But in this play, I see him more as the publisher of the local newspaper in the HBO series Deadwood. He's the shell of the man I think Henry sees himself as. And my Falstaff would be an older but bolder, more obnoxious Alec Baldwin, playing not so much his role in 30 Rock, but Falstaff channeled through Jack Nicholson's turn as the astronaut in James Brooks's Terms of Endearment, with a little bit of Nicholson's role in Brooks's As Good as It Gets thrown in for good measure. Wild, lecherous, leering comic with a barely disguised mean streak flashing every now and then. The only time that mean streak doesn't show is when he is with his doll. And my doll tear sheet would be Bebe Neuwirth. Most knew her as Lilith in Cheers and Frasier, or maybe as the dance teacher in the remake of Fame a couple of years back. But some know her for her turns on Broadway, including the revival of Chicago. She's no spring chicken, she's on the other side of 50, but she's still sexy and with a wicked gleam in her eye. In other words, a perfect doll. Rounding out pretty much an almost perfect cast, in not even close to a perfect play. But what a challenge it would be to pull it off. Now, if you've enjoyed this podcast, but you haven't been following along with our daily blog entries this week, you've missed out on subjects including Rumor, Patient Zero, The Kiss-Off, A Speech of Two Kings, The Epilogue, What a Long, Strange Trip It's Been, Body, the second half of Henry IV, Midpoints, and the second part of Henry IV, Numbers Overall. So if you'd like more in-depth discussions or just want a daily fix, check out the blog entries at thebillshakespeareproject.com or become a fan of our Facebook page. Remember that the Facebook page is more for Shakespeare news and notes than daily discussions of our play of the month. Also, if you have any question or comment about this or any other Bill Shakespeare Project podcast or blog entry, you can always lob me an email at bill@thebillshakespeareproject.com. And of course, please join us again for our next podcast. I promise it'll be longer. We hope to see you then, but until then, do me a favor. Raise a glass and toast to Shannon and Jeff. They deserve it. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project podcast for January 30th, 2011. For our blog and previous podcast episodes, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we shall see thee anon.